Last Sunday morning, we talked about navigating the road to life, that narrow way that we read of course, in the New Testament. And I want to consider with you this morning some of the concepts and aspects from that, but more particularly for our congregation here and for each and every one of us, for our elders, for our deacons, for all of us. And I want to remind you some things that are stated. First of all, as we had our reading by James this morning from Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28. In the ESV it says there, pay careful attention. In the King James, take heed to yourselves. And when we read those words, of course, we understand from the context that the ones that are being addressed here are the Ephesian elders. They're meeting Paul at the little seashore town of Miletus as he is traveling back to Jerusalem. But he gives them that admonition that is there. Pay careful attention. Take heed. And when we think about that, everything that he addresses from that point forward was about things that were likely and did come upon that congregation, that is the church at Ephesus. And we'll note some of those in just a moment. But he gave them warning concerning what was ahead of them, and also in connection with being true shepherds of the flock, the overseers of God's flock that had been put there by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And quite often, I think, when we think about false doctrine creeping in, we sometimes forget that it really doesn't happen in a vacuum. But rather, there are attitudes that are expressed. There are desires that are prevalent within congregations sometimes where they come forth. What comes forth from those things are untruths. As a matter of fact, I'll remind you of the statement that was made by Peter when we look over at 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 16, in talking about this walk on the narrow way. And what he says here in connection with that, really, in connection with God's word and those that would stray from it. And he says there, of course, in that particular passage of Scripture, that there would be those that would be unlearned, that would torture the Scriptures, that would twist the Scriptures. And in our discussion of that narrow way, we made mention of the fact that what we must do, of course, is not overcorrect, because there are those that are going to go from one side to the other on matters of doctrine and would lead people astray because sometimes they're unlearned. And the danger of the unlearned is that it doesn't mean that they're unpopular. Quite often they're very popular, especially in this situation, in the context which we're reading here, or looking at least in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 16. And because of them not being knowledgeable of God's word and being very charismatic of nature, they can lead people astray. They can have them go to one side or the other of that narrow way. But then the other group that is mentioned here in verse 16, 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, are the unstable. And these are the ones that are not unlearned, but rather those that will not accept the authority from God, from His Word, and make proper application to it. They'll come up with their own understanding, their own hermeneutic, and they'll sway from one side to the other depending upon the wind of doctrine that is the flavor of the day. And so Peter warns about that, and he said there are those that's taken Paul's writings and have tortured them, those that are unlearned and unstable. And not long ago, we were involved in a study here. As a matter of fact, it was last quarter, two quarters total, where we involved ourselves in the study of the heresies, the doctrines that are out there that come into congregations, that churches are facing today, issues that come among brethren today. And I want us to really think about that for a moment. when we look at the things that are brought in, and we're going to be looking today specifically at the eldership. We're going to be looking at elders and their work. And when we think about these doctrines, and again, they don't happen in a vacuum, but sometimes there are conditions that cause certain doctrines to be taught. Let me give you an example. One group that we had studied during the last two quarters made this statement about the eldership, that there are elderships are involved in abdicating responsibility for teaching and preaching of the word. And I believe that unless an eldership is in the word, acting by the word, overseeing by God's truth and direction, the correction for the and the instruction in righteousness that we read of concerning God's word, as we see in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, unless that is taking place, these things happen, and they have happened in congregations where they have abdicated the responsibility for teaching and preaching of the word in lieu of trying to make everybody happy. And I think that if we've lived for any period of time, we've come to an understanding you cannot always make everybody happy all the time. And not only that, but from the concept of preaching the gospel, it's not making people about making people happy, but it's about making people to be respectful of God's word. And whenever that does take place, well, then they are certainly satisfied. They are happy with what God would have them to do. And so there are those that will say, well, because of that, let's just look at the eldership and consider them to be nothing more than older men. We'll go ahead and swerve all the way over to one side of the matter, and we'll go off the track, out of the way. They're just older men, so they're not even to be considered in a work, in an office. I put that in quotation marks. But it's just speaking of nothing more than an older man. And then the other thought that comes from some of these groups are, elders are viewed more as a corporate decision-making board of directors and shepherds looking out for the souls of men. And there are those that have swerved to the other side of that and said, well, there doesn't need to be an eldership at all. If there is an eldership, if you find a good one, well, then let's just go ahead and make it over many congregations. Instead of just one, we'll have one eldership over several congregations because they're so hard to find in the first place anyway. And so you see this overcorrection taking place. But I entitle part one, just to let you know, of this lesson, pay careful attention. And brethren, when we consider that these doctrines come about not, as we said, in a vacuum, but rather sometimes there are legitimate causes for these doctrines to surface. And when I say legitimate causes, I'm talking about Christians not living the way that they should. Elders not being the shepherds that they should be. Deacons not being the workers that they are to be. Members not being the workers and the support that they are to be. People will latch onto that and go to extremes to try to excuse or add in something that is not of authority. I want us to consider that. And I will let you know, elders, I'll be speaking directly to you today to begin this series of lessons, along with deacons. Well, we'll be talking to all of us, but specifically to the elders in connection with this. I will also remind you that in last week's sermon, I presented to you the thought from Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 5, about the navigation of this narrow way where we don't overcorrect, go from one side to the other, one extreme to the other extreme, but rather, as Paul says there, King James Version, let your moderation be made known to all men, the Lord is at hand. And also, I like Matthew Arnold's commentary on this, where he said a good substitute for moderation there is sweet reasonableness. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known unto all men. And what that is not the overcorrection, but rather the slight corrections that need to be made from time to time where we stay navigating the way of life, that narrow way. When we look back, as we mentioned in Acts 20, chapter verse 28 through 31, especially there, the prime responsibility for the work of the shepherd. And as we see it there, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock to which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. And we look at this and we understand then, elders, you need to understand that your prime work is that shepherding. It involves that teaching, especially that aspect that is there, that nurturing, that care that is there, and also the protection that is involved in the thought of shepherding the flock. That is your prime directive. It is not about the color of the roof or the color of the carpet or the color of the pews. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But your prime directive is to teach this congregation. And I want you to think about this from what Paul said in Acts, the 20th chapter. And where he warns them, I know, verse 29, that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From your own selves shall men arise, speaking twisted things or perverse things to draw disciples after them. He says then in verse 31, elders, pay careful attention to this. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Now, Paul had taught at this congregation in Ephesians at Ephesus for 2 years. And then after he left there, he wrote to them. I want you to consider some things that he wrote to them about on the heels of what he said here about warning them day and night with tears. Think back, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3. Paul wanted to remind them what they were before they became Christians. And especially there when we look in verse 1, you were dead in trespasses and sins. He also reminds them when we go to Ephesians 4, 2 verses 4 through 22, and especially in verse 22, what they became by becoming Christians, children of God. And he says there, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You're God's house. When we look over in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 21, he wants to remind them of the love that surpasses knowledge. And especially there in verse 19, he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He reminds them throughout this book of their conduct of life. And he uses the word walk 7 times and the word walk, past tense, 1 time. Ephesians 2, once walked in darkness. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. That was Ephesians 2, 2 was the first one. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. That in chapter 4 and verse 1, we walk in a worthy manner. They were to walk in a worthy manner. Verse 17 of chapter 4, no longer walk as other Gentiles walk. In chapter 5 and verse 2, they were to walk in love. And in verse 8, they were to walk in and as children of light. In verse 15, they were to walk in wisdom. When we look in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, he reminds them of the one. He says that there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, starting in verse 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, is above all, through all, and in you all. He reminds them of that. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. But remember, he had said, when we met with him at that little seashore town there in Miletus, I ceased not to warn you night and day, to admonish everyone with tears of what can come upon you. And he gave all of this sound teaching. He gave this remembrance. He gave them the teaching that would show exactly what they are in Christ Jesus, being built up a spiritual house. The ones that are there. The love that surpasses knowledge. And I want you to consider with me, was his warning valid? Was his warning valid? Turn with me to Revelation, the 2nd chapter, where he addresses the church in verses 1 through 7, and look at verse 4. He says, but I have this against you, that you have forgotten your first love. You've forgotten your first love. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the things that he talked about, as we mentioned there in Ephesians, the third chapter, the love that surpasses the knowledge or understanding of man that is shown forth to us by Christ Jesus through his death, through the word that he gives, through the relationship that we have with him. And he had warned them. And now, you look at the result. And we have to say, whenever he makes mention here in Revelation, the second chapter, in verse 4, you've forgotten your first love. That the warning that he gave there beside the sea was valid. It was valid. The teaching was there. But evidently some aspect of this teaching that he gave, even as he wrote to them that we considered it here, it fell by the wayside at some point in time because they left their first love, Christ Jesus. I want us to think about this, especially you elders, think about this, and the remedies for not falling into the same error that the Ephesian church fell into. And that is making it where you oversee this congregation in a way where it will never be said they forgot their first love. Consider with me some of these remedies. As we said, that the first one is to teach. And we see this when we look over in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and verse 2. And Peter says there, shepherds, feed the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. And that feed there means to tend, to rule, and to govern. And the oversight, take the oversight, is a word that means to look upon, inspect, oversee, look after, care for. And wherever you put that together and you think about that admonition that is there, you think about your responsibility as elders to know everyone in this congregation and to know them intimately so that you can know what their likes and their dislikes are, so that you can be a barometer for the congregation and for individuals if they would start to stray from the way, if their spirituality would start to weaken, that you are the first one to recognize that. Because you're the shepherd. You're the shepherds of this congregation. And you are to teach them, and you're to care for them, and you're to protect them. And you recognize those things then about each and every one of us. And especially that you don't dally in addressing those situations. And I realize it's hard when we start dealing with people. It's hard. And elders, it's hard when you deal with the membership and you have all the varying ideas and thoughts and attitudes and behaviors and characters that are involved in the congregation. I realize that it's hard, but that is your work over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God in this matter. I want you to think about that teaching, that caring for, that protection that is there. Elders, you need to learn to delegate. You need to learn to delegate. And this is not outside, but this is inside that walk of life, that way of life. It's not outside, but it's inside. Think about it. Delegate non-spiritual matters. I mentioned the color of the roof there. We're going to be having a roof replaced on this building. And elders, I speak to you directly, first of all. That should have been your least concern about this building. That should have been your least concern about this congregation. And wherever I say delegate, I want you to consider from this point forward delegating actively if need be. If the deacons do not step up to say, let us take that off of your plate. If some of the members don't step up to say, let us take some of those non-spiritual matters off of your plate. Let us give you more time to do those things that are spiritual in nature about leading us and directing us. Start to actively delegate. And I'll use myself. Garen, would you take this and run with it? Will you oversee this? Will you help to make choices? Will you get input from others? Will you go ahead and handle this? And I will tell you, I believe that we have such a congregation here that can do that. I believe that there are those in the congregation that have willing minds and willing desires to do the Lord's work. And they recognize that that is part of their work, and especially the deacons and then also the membership. I realize we only have one deacon and we could run him into the ground. I realize that. But there are those here that can handle those things. And so I ask you to actively delegate matters that are non-spiritual. And elders, I counsel you to turn loose of those matters that are non-spiritual and focus in on what your real work is.
Amen.
That is teaching us and directing us. Think about this from Acts 6 chapter verses 2 through 3. And I know that elders are not mentioned here, but I believe that there's a principle involved that we are to take forward from this point that we have in history, in the gospel record of what took place with the Grecian widows that were being left out of the daily administration. And we put it into then that which is applicable to us today, where it's not apostles and servants, but rather where it would be shepherds and servants. And remember the statements that are made there. The 12 summoned themselves together. This is Acts 6 and verse 2. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word to God and serve tables." What he's saying is, now it's time to delegate. "Therefore, brothers," verse 3, "pick out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We will appoint whom we will appoint over this duty. We delegate it unto them." It's not spiritual matters, but rather it is that which is physical. And so what they did is that they let go. They let go and let others handle things that were not of prime importance to the work of shepherds. They let go. Our deacon is not here today. I didn't know that he would be gone. And so I will confess to him that I mentioned his work. And if I fail to do that, you tell him that I mentioned his work. Our deacon, and any deacons, let me just put it that way. Deacons are to be of the attitude of the "here am I, send me" character and thought of mine. Isaiah the 6th chapter and verse 8. "Servants, you were appointed to be exactly what the word means, diakonos, which is servants." And when we look in Romans 12 chapter verse 6 and 7, Paul says, "They're having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them in prophecy in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching." And I don't believe that these are talking about miraculous gifts, but rather they're talking about inherent gifts that all have of different aspects, which would include then the deacons, the servants. And I urge the deacons, those that are deacons, to have the attitude of, "I'm not going to wait to see what the elders do, but when I recognize that there are non-spiritual matters that are out there, I'm going to volunteer. Here am I, send me." And I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to take off of the plate of the shepherds that which is non-spiritual in aspect, and I'm going to give them time then to do the work that they were ordained to do by God's will. Members. That's each and every one of us then, other than the deacons and other than the elders. Don't be oblivious and don't run and hide. And I will tell you that if you don't see things that need to be taken care of around here that are non-spiritual, I'm talking about this building, talking about the grounds and so forth, if you don't see it, it means that your eyes are closed. And also you've forgotten because of the long winter that we have that grass grows and it needs to be cut. And there are things that need to be taken care of outside. There are things that need to be picked up. We will probably at some point in time have some new plants if that is the will of the elders. But let me tell you, we should never catch an elder watering those plants or even planting those plants. But we should take up that work, because we should have the attitude also of, here am I, send me, and let's leave then the shepherds to do the work of what they are ordained to do, and that is to teach us, to care for us, and to protect us. Wherever you look at Colossians, the first chapter and verse 10 in connection with this, Paul says there, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And there he's talking to not elders, but to the membership. Titus, the third chapter in verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Not the elders, but the membership. Titus 3 and verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. And I realize here specifically about benevolence. And I think that the elders do a good job in their visitations and so forth, but they're not the only ones that can go and visit our shut-ins and others also. I think we can join in with that work with them. And it's the right and the proper thing to do. You see, if elders are not the shepherds that they are to be, it leaves the door open at some point in time for someone to swerve off of the way of life and go to one extreme or to the other. And so when we mention these things that take place, quite often we say, well, we know the truth and that'll never happen here. Well, it won't happen unless we all do the work that we are ordained to do. Shepherds, your work first, and that is to teach us, care for us, and protect us. I remember that when we appointed, recognized the elders of this congregation, I gave a lesson where I talked about the teaching aspect, and there certainly is teaching by example. And I think we have some grand elders in connection with teaching by example. But let's not forget, there's also, I think, something that is right and proper and needful for a shepherd to stand in front of the flock from time to time and to teach. And I made mention in that lesson that I gave, they're not expected to be, elders are not expected to be by the qualifications that are given. And I'll throw a name out there. I know it's recorded. Brother D, forgive me. Not everyone's supposed to be a D Bowman in their presentation. Not every one of the elders. And you may think of somebody, Artie Brown. Maybe a James Duvall. I will. I'll put you there. I'm preaching the sermon, so I can do that. But where if you look at that's not the point. The congregation needs to hear you teach from time to time, even if it's just an invitation. An address to the congregation from time to time. Don't leave the door open for people to go from one side to the other and run off the road on the way of life. Pay careful attention, elders. Pay careful attention, deacons. Pay careful attention, us. May we fulfill God's will. Maybe those here this morning that are not members of the body of Christ, I want to ask you, will you pay attention to your situation and condition of being lost? Will you pay attention enough to where you will realize that you need to come to the Lord because your soul is lost at this point? That you're not in a covenant relationship with Him, you don't know Christ, and you've not put Him on in baptism. Will you come to Him this day paying careful attention that by faith, with a penitent attitude, naming His name and being baptized for remission of your sins, you start to walk that life of an ordained child of God through the Word as you are to do. And then those of us that are here today, let us pay careful attention also, and let's make sure that we support our shepherds. We're so blessed to have them. I will tell you, if you've been in a congregation before and you've seen wrangling and foolishness take place and everything, you will get down on your knees every day and thank God that we have men among us that are qualified to serve as shepherds of this congregation, because we have peace and we have direction and we have teaching and we have care and we have that which they are designed to do being done for us. And if we're not helping them, let's change that.
and let's take care of those things. Let's delegate ourselves to help out with those things that are non-spiritual. If there are those we need help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.